All right, this morning we are continuing on in our sermon series in the book of Luke, a sermon entitled 10 Healed, 1 Returned. It's from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Here's the main idea for this passage. Since salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus, God's saved ones should respond by praising, honoring, and thanking God. Let me say that again. Since salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus, God's saved ones should respond by praising, honoring, and thanking God. Now, the key word in that main idea is the word respond. And that is why we have rearranged the order of singing and sermon this morning. We want to give you an immediate opportunity to apply the message by responding to your salvation by praising, honoring, and thanking God. And we will do that immediately after the sermon is done in song with the group we have who will lead us this morning. Now, this episode in the life and ministry of Jesus is more than just a testimony of Jesus' ability to heal leprosy. In fact, we already know that he can heal leprosy. We've read about it in Luke already. It is a narrative that teaches disciples about proper responses to salvation. Now, throughout the Gospel of Luke, we have seen that the ideas of healing, physical healing, forgiveness, and redemption have been intertwined as Jesus teaches and demonstrates about the kingdom of God. Now, the same is true in this passage. Jesus physically heals some individuals. But connected to that physical healing for one person is a wide-ranging and wide-reaching picture of salvation. So much so that commentator Joel Green said this, "In this setting, cleansing would denote forgiveness, physical recovery, and restoration. And all of this is a gift of God to be recognized by the community of God's people." That was true in the time of Jesus, and it's true for us now to recognize this and to see this. So let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 9, and read the passage before us. I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, open them up, turn on your devices, read along with me as we look at Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is God's word. Let's go to him in prayer now. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to, in the fashion that we can, gather around God's word, looking to you, Father God, to apply that word to our lives and to change us. We ask that you would do just that by your Holy Spirit. Would you take your living word, illuminate it for us that we might understand it with our minds and embrace it with our hearts, knowing that as we do so, we will be changed. We will grow in godliness. We'll be conformed to the image of Christ. I pray, Father God, that you would help me to communicate and proclaim your truth in such a way that it's helpful to that end. I need your help, Father God, for that. We all do. And we pray that you would help us to see Jesus this morning. Help us to see the glory of the gospel in his face. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We are going to consider this episode in the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus in four separate scenes. The first scene, scene one, we see a man on a mission. This is verses 11 through 13. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now the key phrase in this scene is that first phrase, on the way to Jerusalem, because it reminds the reader, it reminds us of Jesus' mission. We heard about this in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 53. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered the villages of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And then again in Luke 13, verse 22, he went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Now this is clearly not an as the crow flies journey, but the road inevitably leads to Jerusalem and to suffering. There was a medieval proverb that said all roads lead to Rome. Well, for Jesus, all roads lead to Jerusalem and to Calvary. And we need to remember that as we think about what he does and what he says in this passage. Now, on the outskirts of an unnamed village, Jesus hears the shouts of numerous men before he sees them. He hears the word, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now there were 10 men shouting while, if you can imagine this, while practicing social distancing. Long before Theresa Tam or Prime Minister Justin Trudeau or Premier Rob Ford insisted on the practice of social distancing, which we are all too familiar with now, God's law insisted on social distancing for lepers. We read in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Now think about this. Those men who regularly proclaimed their own uncleanliness now looked for mercy from the man who proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. They make a simple request, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They are looking for mercy, and the language that they use indicates that they're looking mercy from someone that they understand they are subordinate to, from someone who has a superior position to them, looking for compassion. And compassion was in order because leprosy was a name for various skin diseases which resulted in physical, social, and spiritual ramifications that were devastating for the person who was ill. Well, let's make some applications from this first scene. And I want to warn you, I have 12 applications in this sermon. But I don't expect you to apply all of them or take all of them home with you, as it were, this morning. What I would ask is, I go through this sermon and give these 12 applications, that you trust that God, by His Holy Spirit, will convict you in regards to just one of them. Just one of them for you to take and to act on and to think about and to pray about. But how do we, or how can we apply this first scene? Well, first of all, we need to allow suffering to help us to see our need. These 10 lepers were suffering and they recognized that they had a need. In our day and in our society, we don't often do that. In fact, we often let our suffering suggest to us that we don't need any help. Let's not be people who respond in that way. Let's let our suffering show us that we are finite creatures damaged by sin who are in desperate need. Let's not be people who deny our own need. A second application from this first scene, seek salvation from the one who is greater than you. We need to seek salvation. We need to seek restoration. We need to seek wholeness from the one who is greater than we are. We need to call out to Jesus and seek mercy. Let's move on to scene two. Scene two I've entitled, Ten Healed. It's encapsulated in verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, imagine for a moment if you were one of those 10 lepers. This powerful, wonder-working man of God, whom you had already clearly heard about, was coming into your town. You had heard about the miracles he'd performed, these wondrous deeds that were almost unbelievable. You even heard that he had healed a man with leprosy. And he healed him by touching him. And when you see him, you cry out to him for mercy. You cannot get close to him. The law forbids it. And I wonder, for those 10 men, having been rejected by their families, having been ostracized by their community, even their religion indicated that they had to be placed apart and separate. I wonder if you would be yelling with little hope of this wonder-working man of God even acknowledging your presence, let alone helping you. But then as you call out to Jesus, Master, have mercy, he sees you. You're looking at him and his face turns towards you, your eyes catch, and you know that he sees you. And I imagine their hearts began to race. The anticipation of a miracle would be heightened. What would Jesus do? Would he touch them like he touched that other leper who he healed? Would he command the leprosy to be gone in a powerful way? Would he cast out demons that would result in them being healed? They'd heard of that before too. I wonder if there was a pang of disappointment when he ventured no closer to them and simply spoke to them. Jesus commands them, go and show yourself to the priest. I can imagine they were thinking, wait a minute, that's it? Just a command to leave and report to the synagogue? Didn't Jesus know that's not even how it's supposed to work? You are supposed to show yourself to the priest after you've been healed. Leviticus 14, verse 1 through 3, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. A leper went to the priest when he or she believed the leprosy was gone, not before that. And then the priest would make a determination if they were healed or not healed. So what would the lepers do? Would they doubt Jesus, this man, this master who they had called out to? Would they ignore his commands? Or would they trust and obey? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Listen to this verse from that hymn. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. Whatever he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The lepers decided that they would trust and obey. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And we read those amazing words, and as they went, they were cleansed. How can we apply scene two to our lives this morning? First, We need to understand that we know Jesus in a way they didn't. We need to admonish ourselves. We know more fully who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And if 10 leopards who barely knew Jesus could trust and obey him, how much more should we? How much more should those of us who have been saved from sin and death and judgment trust and obey Jesus? We need to admonish ourselves this morning. Disciples, in response to salvation, trust and obey. 2, where and how do we need to trust and obey Jesus in the middle of this pandemic? Has the Holy Spirit convicted you on an issue in which you need to trust God? Then do so. Repent of your lack of trust and start trusting him. Has the Holy Spirit convicted you about an area of your life you need to be obedient in? Repent for your disobedience and ask God for help to be obedient in that area of your life. And finally, third application from this scene, understand Jesus sees you and he desires to save you. Just like he saw those 10 lepers who were calling out, understand this morning, Jesus sees you. If you're watching this morning and you're not a person of faith, you're an unbeliever, you've never entrusted your life to Christ, you need to hear this morning that Jesus sees you in your suffering. Maybe you're watching now, you've never been to our church, you came across us on Facebook. You need to understand Jesus sees you in your suffering. And particularly, he sees you in your bondage to sin. He sees you under God's judgment. He sees you estranged from the Creator. And he has provided for your salvation if you will put your faith in him. Jesus sees you. Jesus has worked salvation for you if you will repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in him. If you're a believer here this morning, you need to understand this. Jesus sees you in your suffering. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever trial you're experiencing, whatever relational difficulties or economic struggles or mental health issues, whatever it is, Jesus sees you in your suffering. We need to understand that our Savior understands suffering. He understands it better and more thoroughly than we do. And his heart of compassion goes out to you. He sees you in your suffering. Let's keep moving here. Scene 3, entitled One Returned, verses 15 and 16. We read, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. What would you do if you were a leper who found yourself healed? Maybe you would run into the city and embrace and hug every person you met. I'm a little bit concerned that the first time we get to meet together, some of you are going to do that. You're going to want to be hugging every person you see, and chances are you won't be allowed to do that. But maybe you'd be a person who, if you were healed from leprosy, would just run and start embracing people now that you could touch them. Maybe you would sprint to find your family whom you had been separated from for years. Maybe you're the type of person who would find those townspeople who shunned you and heckled you and confront them face to face. Well, we don't know what 9 of the lepers did, but we know what one of them did. When he saw he was healed, he returned to Jesus. The leper who earlier lifted his voice to beg for mercy now lifts his voice in praise to God. The man who spent his time distancing himself from others comes near to Jesus and falls at the feet of his healer. The voice that used to declare his own impurity to anyone who ventured too close now declares his thanks to the one who cleansed him of this awful disease. Jesus saw the leper and sent him away, while the leper saw he was healed and returned to Jesus. In the Old Testament, they were taught how to respond to God's mercy. We see it in Psalm 30, verses 10 through 12. We see here in verse 10 this plea for mercy, this request for help. The psalmist says, "Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper." And then we see the response, the appropriate response. Verse 11, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." So he's received the salvation, the mercy, the help that he's looked for. And then in verse 12, "That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." The leper responds to Jesus' mercy by praising God. The leper responds to Jesus' powerful work by honoring and respecting him, falling to his feet in deference. The leper acknowledges the divine act of grace and expresses himself in gratitude and thanks. Understand, the one who returned to Jesus was doubly despised. Not only was he a leper, but he was also a Samaritan. He was an outsider. He was distant from the covenant promises of God. He did not earn his healing. He did not deserve to be cleansed. But God is gracious. And so this leper understands that and responds to the salvation he has experienced. In word, he responds with praise and thanks. In deed, he responds by returning and falling at Jesus' feet. In word and deed, he demonstrates the proper response to gracious salvation. Three more applications for scene three. Have you experienced the gracious saving work of Jesus but walked away and never returned? Are you someone who has been healed by Jesus and needs to return to Jesus? Return to him today. Do so with praise and honoring and thanking him. And I don't know what that looks like for your life. Maybe you came to saving faith in Christ, and shortly thereafter, because of whatever reasons, walked away from him and haven't returned. You can return today to Jesus. And a way you can do that is by praising him and honoring him and thanking him. And I'd encourage you to stay online and do that with us in a few moments. If you've been healed by Jesus and walked away from Jesus, you can apply this scene to your life by returning to Jesus today. Number two, question we can all ask ourselves, does respect make an appearance in our praise? Does a sense and a posture of respect make an appearance in our praise? Does our worship through song indicate that we honor and respect this God who has saved us? You know, there's many ways for that to happen. And I'm not going to limit it to some way, but let me just give you an example. On Thursday morning, the men gather for prayer. And there's a couple of men who, every time we go to pray, we're sitting on chairs. They get up off their chairs and get down on their knees. Now, we don't have to do that. But I'm certain in their minds, one of the reasons they do it is a way of showing respect and honor to God. And so I don't want to predetermine for you what that looks like. I only ask the question as I ask it of myself. Does respect and honor make an appearance in our praise and worship? Number three, are we willing to praise and honor and thank when nobody else will? Do we praise and honor and thank God when we're all alone? Do we praise and honor and thank God when others are distracted or drawn away when we're all by ourselves. What I love about this leper is that the nine didn't return. He returned by himself in order to praise and honor and thank the one who had saved him. Could the same be said of us this morning? We come to scene four now, a commendable response, I've entitled it. We see it in verse 17 through 19. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Again, in this episode, Jesus employs rhetorical questions to convey the truth. And the truth that he's conveying is that the response of the returning Samaritan leper is to be affirmed and it's to be emulated. Were not 10 cleansed? The obvious answer, yes, 10 were cleansed. Where are the 9? We're not sure where the 9 are, but we know where they're not. They're not at Jesus' feet praising and honoring and thanking. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? No, nobody else returned to give praise. Then Jesus gives his commendation of the response of the leper. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that a concrete response is required when someone experiences the gracious salvation of God. And the Samaritan leper has done well. Now this leper, we need to understand, has received more than cleansing, more than the other 9 lepers. They all received cleansing. The Samaritan leper who returned has been made well, which is a different word than cleansed. The King James Version says, "Your faith has made thee whole." The Christian Standard Bible says, "Your faith has saved you." Even more than just physical revitalization, the faith of the leper and his appropriate response to God's grace leaves him socially restored and spiritually saved. Full saving faith is in view for the leper who returned. He has experienced the salvation of God by grace through faith. And so let's finish with 3 more applications from scene 4. Number 1, the Lord cares for the lepers. Let us always remember this. Let us always be people who emulate Jesus in the way that we see and help those who are needy, marginalized, and oppressed. That's one of the reasons I'm so encouraged by how our congregation has responded for this food drive and for this clothing drive. I know we're limited in the things that we can do, and yet every opportunity that's given to the congregation, I see individuals and families. I see that they themselves see people are in need and do something to help them. They see the needy, marginalized, and oppressed, just as Jesus did, and they care for them. Let's continue to do that. Number 2, let us understand this morning that true, living, vital faith produces praise and honor and thanksgiving. This is a bit of a litmus test. If you're a person who claims to have faith, to be in the faith, are these things present in your life? More than just on a Sunday morning. Is praise part of your life? Is honoring your Savior part of your life? Is thanksgiving to God part of your life? They need to be. It's evidence of a living faith. And finally, third, the 12th application of this sermon. Do not just encounter healing from God, but encounter God in your healing. We need to get this whole because we have been lavished with God's graciousness and salvation in so many ways. We're not just trying to encounter the benefits of that salvation. We are desiring to encounter the one who saved us. Derek Corliss, I haven't seen if you're watching right now. Saw some people who have joined us, didn't see your name. Maybe you are. I thought of you because you encouraged me in regards to how you have spoken about God bringing you through that very difficult time with this coronavirus. You encountered the healing from God, but more importantly, you encountered God in your healing. You recognized that, and you expressed your desire to pursue Him and to lean into Him and to be in His Word and to, you know, be praying and to be joining with God's people whenever you can. And that was so encouraging. And we see that this morning with this leper. He didn't just encounter healing from God. He encountered God in his healing. He returned and fell at the feet of Jesus. So those three applications, the Lord cares for the lepers. We need to be people who care too. True living, vital faith produces praise and honor and thanksgiving. Do not just encounter healing from God. Encounter God in your healing. We can add those with the nine we've already been through. Has someone been healed by Jesus and needs to return to Jesus this morning? Do we respect and do we show and respect God in our praise? Are we willing to praise and honor and thank God when nobody else will? We know Jesus and we know what he would accomplish at the cross, and yet we lack faith and fail to obey. We need to challenge ourselves with that. Where and how do we need to trust and obey in the middle of this pandemic? Do we truly realize that Jesus sees us and desires to save us? Whether we're an unbeliever or believer, we need to recognize that and respond appropriately. Are we, let me return now to the main idea and our final promise, our final point of application for this sermon. Remember the main idea, since salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus, just like it was for the leper. Since salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus, God's saved ones should respond by praising, honoring, and thanking God. And so we now have an opportunity for one last application, and we can do it in real time, immediately right now. If you have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you can apply God's word to your life with us now as we sing songs of praise and honor and thanksgiving.